I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Thursday. And what a gigantic Thursday it's going to be. We are officially 3 hours away from the debate that will be seen around the world. No, I don't think I'm going to do a lot more debate talk tonight. I did it last night, but there will be some. You can plan on that. We'll talk more about how lame our Supreme Court is, the open border, accepting the communist premise on everything, and that's why we lose. Apparently Hooters is shutting down. We have a bunch of emails, all that, and so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. But I want to begin here. I want to begin with something that may very well offend just about everybody, and I understand that, but don't shake your head, Chris. It'll be fine. We won't get in trouble. It'll be fine. But it's time to have a conversation about what is healthy, what is unhealthy, what is beneficial, what is negative for all of us. This can really apply to all of us in all of our walks of life. But I'm going to play something for you. Tim Scott is a senator from South Carolina, as you know. Rumor is he's on the very, 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 very short list of Trump's vice presidential picks. Remember, Trump has announced that he's already made a choice and he expects the person to be at the debate. So lots of these guys will probably be at the debate. I guess we'll find out if Tim Scott's there later on. But Tim Scott out there in the media, and, well, this is what he said.
Chosen as the vice president, you would be the first Black Republican VP on the ticket. How do you feel?
Well, I think it's exciting, no matter the outcome. It's the evolution of the Southern heart that we see on display. And we Southerners get so little credit for the progress we've made. The whole notion of judging a person on the content of their character, not the color of their skin, has happened. It's not going to happen. It's not around the corner. It's in the rearview mirror. We are living Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream.
When you
okay, that's not a bad answer. I'm not. You know, I don't like Tim Scott. I think he's too weak and soft and pathetic. But that's not a bad answer. I'm not lambasting the answer here. But here's what I am going to criticize right off the bat. He is right that obviously we've moved past certain things when it comes to skin color in this country, especially when it comes to Black people. Sadly, those things have flipped around and now it's white people who are persona non grata. We'll get into that later on, but he's right. Strides have been made. Huge strides have been made. And there's no question that Black people for the longest time, post-slavery, we don't even go into that, post-slavery, they were the second-class citizens. Can't have this job, can't work here, can't do this, can't do that, because you're Black. And those days are gone. But at what point in time does focusing on that turn into a negative for everyone involved? And this is the reason I bring this up. I'm gonna play something for you. This is a store owner in Chicago. Store keeps getting vandalized. Listen to this.
One, it was a guy on a bike who just rode past and punched the window. The one before that, it was a guy who rode up and like threw a rock through my window and it shattered the whole window. So it's really an ongoing occurrence. I feel like it needs to be heard and seen.
Whitney Cumbo started her small business 5 years ago alongside her sister. They chose the Bridgeport neighborhood because it was close to where they grew up, and she says it feels like home. But lately, she feels like she's being pushed out because of her race.
As an African-American woman, the cartwheel was already already not all dealt to me. And the fact that I'm trying and I'm striving and it's like for no reason at all, I'm keep on being set back. We're not gonna stand for that. We deserve to be here. I bring peace to the community and I want to be accepted and respected.
Okay. I'm certainly not pleased that a small business owner's business is being vandalized, but as a black woman, we're already held back. At what point in time does this mentality hold everyone back? At what point in time does this endless obsession with I'm oppressed, I'm put upon, at what point does speaking about this all the time negatively affect people? We're not talking about speaking about it in Martin Luther King's day when he's actually trying to overcome real societal injustices. We're not talking about that. We're talking about today. Now that those have been overcome, at what point in time is this we're oppressed crap a negative on so many people in the black community in this country? How many are held back by the poison that is put in their minds over and over and over and over again by the people inside of the black community in this country? How many? All you see is raced, oppressed. I'm living Martin Luther King's dream. How many? Every single black movie is about the racism they experience. Let's talk about civil rights. Oh, we got a new one about slavery and civil rights and slavery and civil rights. And black people are oppressed and slavery and civil rights. At what point in time does it get unhealthy to obsess over things like this? I say we are way past this point in time, and I'm done hearing about it. Because it's harming the very people who it's supposed to, who the claim is that it's helping. This is holding black people back in the country, and we have got to have black leaders on every side. I don't care what side of the aisle politically. Stop with this nonsense. Now, I'm not naive. I understand that's how the Al Sharptons of the world make their money. That's the only thing he's ever brought to the table is that. We're oppressed. I get that. But in the very least, let's stop participating in that on the right in any way. And that includes Tim Scott, who did give a great answer there. I was kind of using his answer to juxtapose it with that business owner. This has become a mental poison on a culture, and it's hurting the culture in terrible ways. And it's ended up flipping things to being so hateful that now people will, elected officials, CEOs, they'll just openly talk like
this.
I
think one of the things that we need to take a look at is the world that they're fighting for, a world without diversity, equity, and inclusion policies, which is to say the default, which is to say workplaces that are honestly kind of like Congress, because the population of the United States, as we mentioned, is about 59% white. Do you know what percentage of Congress is white?
I don't, but I know that we finally have 60 members of the Congressional Black Caucus, which is progress.
But even then, 75%. White Americans make up 60%, 59% of the U.S. population, 75% of Congress. Men are 50%.
This endless poison. It is poisoning minds and filling them with hatred and bigotry, and it's time to stop. And it's time for the GOP at every level to stop participating in it. And I know this is going to fall on deaf ears because the GOP loves to do this. Oh my gosh, the GOP loves this more than anything in the world. We're not racist, I swear. No, I know you're not. You're not racist. You're embarrassing and you're weak. This has become harmful, clearly harmful to the black community, and black people are now suffering because of this endless garbage, and it's time it stops. It's time it stops. There, I just had to get that off my chest. Let's talk about illegals pillaging the country. Let's talk about some emails. Hey, Dr. Jesse. Oh, I forgot to mention tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your emails in right now, Jesse at JesseKellyShow.com. All 3 hours, I'll answer your questions. Jesse, I'm hoping Trump can work that Biden's disastrous policies are a continuation of Obama's policies. May help obstruct replacing Biden with Michelle. What do you think? Well, okay, so for tonight, we got debate night tonight. What do we want? Everyone has a theory. Everyone has a thing they want to see out of Trump. I want Trump to do this, not that. I want Trump to say this, not that. And maybe your theories are correct. Maybe my theories are correct. We all think we're correct. But remember, this is a fact. Everyone watching that debate has not decided who they're voting for yet. They haven't. You, if you're listening to the sound of my voice right now, you've decided. Either you love Trump and you're voting for him, or maybe you're kind of average on Trump, but you're voting for him. Or maybe you hate his freaking guts and you're not voting for him. But it doesn't matter. If you're listening to me right now, you've made a decision. Joe Biden and Donald Trump are going to speak to people tonight, and they're not going to speak to me, and they're not going to speak to you. And so let's discuss that briefly in a moment. Before we do that, let's discuss something. Signing a pledge has got to be about the easiest thing in the world, right? You're not writing a check. You're not running a mile. You're not really putting any effort at all. You're just signing a pledge. This pledge that IFCJ is doing right now, it's a pledge that says, hey, Israel is being pummeled. Israel is being, oh gosh, the things that are happening to the women over there, it's awful. Israel's being pummeled, and the Christian community worldwide is standing with them. That's all the pledge says. Go sign it. Supportifcj.org is where you go to sign it. It's just signing a pledge. The pledge will end up being delivered to Netanyahu, kind of a rah-rah look, we stand with you, praying for you, that kind of a thing. Supportifcj.org. All right? Let's talk a little debate next.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I should have noted at the beginning of the show, but I'm stupid and irresponsible. Josh Hammer's coming up like 10 minutes from now to give us an update on how badly we got jobbed by the Supreme Court today, and it was bad once again. Amy Coney Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh, gosh. Anyway, we'll talk to Hammer about that to help you and me understand what we're dealing with. Of course, it's debate night tonight, and people have questions. People have suggestions. CNN's explaining how the muted microphone thing is going to work.
If we go behind the podiums, you can see two green lights. When they're on, they signal to the candidate his microphone is on. When the green lights are off, they signal to the candidate his microphone is off. Now I want to give you a sense of what it will look like for viewers at home if a candidate whose microphone is off interrupts a candidate whose microphone is on. And so let's say I'm answering a question. My light is green and I'm speaking. Phil's microphone is off and his green lights are not illuminated. He's going to interrupt me as I'm speaking, and this is what it will sound like. My volume remains constant, while Phil's interruption can be difficult to understand.
I'm glad they demonstrated what a muted microphone sounds like. I don't know if you know this. Breaking news, you can't hear them. Anyway, so people have suggestions about tonight. What should Trump do? What shouldn't he do? What should Biden do? What shouldn't he do? Everyone has an opinion, and that's good. But that's why we have fun talking politics, right? We debate politics. We do have to keep in mind, though, Trump is not talking to you tonight. You either hate Trump or love Trump. Your decision, you're someone who has sought out talk radio or the podcast version of it the next day. You are a decided voter. You are hyper-informed. Either you've got your MAGA hat on and you're voting Trump, or maybe you don't like him, but you're voting Trump, or maybe hate his freaking guts and you're never voting Trump again. But you're decided. Tonight, this debate will be gigantic, earth-shattering. We don't have to once again go into why we would give an evil organization like CNN ratings like this. But anyway, it's going to be huge. And there will be many, 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 many people, independents, they're always known as, they're always called independents, undecided voters will be watching. Now, this is where we get into the question that I've debated, tried to read about, tried to figure out, poll numbers here, years there. The question we all kind of want to know, really the question everyone running for office wants to know, what do independents want? What do they want? What do they not want? What should Trump do tonight when it comes to Biden? Should Trump bring up his mental problems? Should he bring it up in what way? Should he be mean? Make a joke? Should he act sympathetic? I don't know that that would come off well. Trump doesn't necessarily do sympathetic very well. What should he do? I don't know. What do the independents want? I don't know. Nobody knows. And the truth is, no one will ever know, because the reason you're independent, swaying back and forth and swinging back and forth, is because you're not anchored to anything. Now, people can go from being undecided voters or independent voters to finally figuring out who they are and what they want, and they can lock themselves into a new party. That happens. Maybe that's you. There are a bunch of people who listen to the show that way. They'll email in, hey, Jess, I used to be a Democrat, voted for Obama, and then I switched because of this, that, and that. Now, that happens, of course. But the person who's still out there floating in the wind, I voted for Obama and then I voted for Trump the first time, but Biden a second time, and now I don't know who I'm voting for. The candidates obsess over appealing to that person, but that person doesn't generally know even what they want, and they want different things. If they had something solid they wanted, something solid they knew, they wouldn't be undecided. They wouldn't be independent. Now, all that aside, what they're not going to do, or at least what they shouldn't do, is speak to you or speak to me. Trump shouldn't spend half a second considering me tonight. And I know I want everyone to think about me at all times. What, Chris? But he, in all seriousness, he shouldn't. And he runs a risk. It's a risk. It's just going to depend on how disciplined he is. Trump has been disciplined at debates, and he's been awfully undisciplined at debates. I don't know what we're going to get. No one knows yet. We won't know for a couple hours. What he can't do is talk about things that I'm passionate about, things like January 6th. January 6th, political prisoners. This has been an issue, as you know, I obsess over. I've been obsessed over it since January 7th. These poor people have been abused and put upon. But if you find Trump up there talking about that day, he's losing. If he's talking about the 2020 election, like I love talking about the 2020 election, and you probably do too. Maybe you think it was legit. Maybe you think the whole thing was stolen. Maybe you think it was slightly stolen. I don't know. It depends on who you are. But we love discussing it. I love discussing it. If Trump is talking about the 2020 election at any point, he's losing. And the debate moderators are going to bring this up. And so his only move is either ignore it or touch on it briefly and then get out. Touch on it briefly and get out. The public, even doesn't matter what you want or what I want. The general public doesn't want to hear about the past. People are watching. They're suffering. Inflation and immigration are everything. The two I's, as people are saying right now, they are everything. And he should probably spend 90 minutes just talking about that. If they ask Trump his favorite color, he should probably find a way to work in illegal immigration or inflation. Now, enough debate talk. Let's do a little illegal immigration talk, because my word, it's somehow getting worse. Hang on. We're going to talk to Josh Hammer first, and then we'll talk illegal immigration. Hang on.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Okay, what in the world happened at the Supreme Court today? We all hate Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh, apparently, and I already hated them anyway, so I didn't need any extra help from today. But I need to make sense of what actually happened and why it happened, and so we're bringing in our friend Josh Hammer, host of America on Trial. Josh, what happened at the Supreme Court today? Was it good or bad?
Well, Jesse, we did get a good result in an administrative state case. We had a good result affecting the SEC and by extension, really the entire administrative state. It was actually a Seventh Amendment case. It was affirming the right to a jury trial. What they basically said in the SEC versus Jarkissi case is that the Seventh Amendment means what it says and that an administrative agency's so-called judicial tribunal cannot actually enact civil penalties, cannot actually get damages from you unless you have an Article III federal jury trial. So that's a good ruling. That's a good ruling for the separation of powers. Unfortunately, there was not a good ruling in an abortion case out of Idaho. They kind of punted on this case, similar-ish, I guess you would say, to the Murphy case, the free speech big tech case yesterday. So in this case out of Idaho, it's called Moyle. It's this Idaho abortion law, and they were essentially trying to figure out the way in which Idaho's pro-life legislation would interact with this federal law that under the Biden administration's interpretation requires hospitals that receive Medicare funding to perform so-called quote-unquote emergency medical abortions. I kind of object to the whole premise of that there is such thing as a medical abortion, but there is really, you know, that's neither here nor there. But the court didn't actually reach the merits of the legal question. They did what is known in the legal jargon as a dig, D-I-G. They dismissed it as improvidently granted, which is really silly because they agreed to hear this case and they heard full oral argument. So now you're just going to refuse to get to the merits. So Alito has a very powerful dissent similar to what he did yesterday in the Murphy big tech case. So overall, Jesse, I'm feeling a little frustrated at the moment. I'll be honest with you.
Okay, go ahead and vent that frustration. Again, we're talking to Josh Hammer, host of America on Trial. Why are these things not going our way, Josh? What is going wrong? These are Trump appointees, and Kavanaugh was always a useless loser, but Amy Coney Barrett, from my understanding, was very well thought of. At least Gorsuch has been pretty rock solid. What is going on? Why are we losing our people? They just got there.
Jesse, one of the lesser discussed dirty little secrets of the current Supreme Court, and a lot of my fellow conservatives hate when I say this, but I think it has to be said nonetheless because we have to be sober about what's happening. There are only two consistent conservatives day in and day out on the U.S. Supreme Court. It's Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito. John Roberts, we know we lost him a very long time ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Obamacare case of 2012 at the very latest, he actually was a little more solid in his very first few years, but he's been gone for a long time. Unfortunately, all three of Donald Trump's nominees, while they are obviously better than liberal justices, they obviously were on the correct side of the Dobbs abortion case, the affirmative action case, the Bruin case. I mean, they've been on the right side of some major cases. I don't want to take anything away from them. And Neil Gorsuch is the best of the three. He's certainly right far more often than when he's wrong. He was heroic on COVID lockdowns, on religious liberty, on people trying to attend church or synagogue to pray during COVID. He was amazing, but he has some really weird tendencies, and he goes wobbly on immigration and due process cases. He infamously had the Bostock case of 2020 involving sexual orientation and gender identity into the Civil Rights Act. So he has some very weird idiosyncratic libertarian tendencies, you might say. Brett Kavanaugh, as you said, Jesse, you and I both knew all along, as any reasonable observer, that he's always kind of stunk. I mean, he was the Bush White House staff secretary. As my buddy Daniel Horowitz said to me years ago, he's essentially Karl Rove in a robe. He is a Bush Republican to his core. That is who Brett Kavanaugh is. Now, I thought that he might have been radicalized by the Christine Blasey Ford stuff, by what happened to him in 2018, and I was cautiously optimistic for a little bit, but unfortunately, it seems like he has reverted to the mean. Amy Coney Barrett is the hardest to figure out of the three. Now, what I will say is when she was tasked with the U.S. Supreme Court, she had a very thin track record. She had not been on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals for very long. if I'm being brutally honest, when she was a Notre Dame law professor, she never had a particularly impressive slew of scholarship. I can't think of anything that she contributed to the legal scholarship or that stood out, to be honest with you. She was a somewhat unimpressive academic. I think she became something of a folk hero, Jesse, because of that exchange that she had with the late Dianne Feinstein, where Dianne Feinstein famously said, "The dogma lives loudly within you." And that rallied many social conservatives to Amy Coney Barrett's cause, but the track record, to be fully candid, was not really there. I am cautiously optimistic that she might right the ship, but she's been very, very timid thus far.
Speaking again with Josh Hammer, host of America on Trial. Josh, can you help me understand why we can't get... Where's our Sotomayor? Where's our Kagan? Where's our Ruth Bader Ginsburg? And I realize we have Thomas and Alito. God bless both those men. But why do we swing and miss so much on the right? And you just don't see that from the left. When they want a dirtball commie on the Supreme Court, that's what they pick and that's what they get. Why is that not what we get every time?
So there are many explanations to this. I mean, this is one of the most important questions, and it is really tragic that after all these years, conservatives still can't get it right. So one of the problems is that our people, when it comes to judicial nominations, our people at the highest level, they're actually just not doing their homework. So for example, Neil Gorsuch, he gave us that Bostock case that I just alluded to, this case that read sexual orientation and gender identity into the Civil Rights Act. He gave us that opinion in 2020, but if they had only done their homework, they would have seen that he actually ruled the exact same way in a lower court opinion back in 2009, a case called Castle. So sometimes it's literally as simple as just doing the reading. Sometimes it comes to just not looking at the judges' personal lives more generally. So, you know, not to pick on Neil Gorsuch too much, but, you know, it turns out that he and his wife attend a theologically liberal church, a church that has been known to fly the rainbow flag every so often. So that should have been a raging five-alarm fire for anyone who was paying attention to it as well. But part of it also, Jesse, and this is kind of where I touch the third rail when it comes to my fellow conservative lawyers, part of it actually is our methodology. So I not to dork out too much on your excellent radio show, but I did write a piece of legal scholarship 3 years ago for the Harvard Journal of Law and Public Policy called Common Good Originalism, which is my own kind of unique twist on originalism, which is the predominant theory of constitutional interpretation on the right. And my basic theory is that old school Antonin Scalia style originalism has actually in many ways outlived its usefulness, and it was probably actually not correct in the first place to begin with, because this ultimately is unsustainable, Jesse. You have the left with the Sotomayors and the Jacksons coming at us as the commie dirtballs that they are, as you just said. And we have people who are putting one hand tied behind their back and trying to avoid reaching the decision in standing or this dismissal from providentially granted. It's not a fair fight. You're showing up to a bazooka fight with a butter knife, essentially. And it's just ridiculous. And I, for one, am so sick of it.
Yeah, I'm quite sick of it as well. I think I should probably start contributing to that Harvard thing you just said, too. That sounds right up my alley, doesn't it, Josh? Don't you think I should do some writing for them as well on legal habeas corpus stuff?
Jesse, I would be honored to co-write something with you for the Harvard Journal of Law and Public Policy.
Absolutely. So that's me and Josh Hammer, both couple Harvard guys. Anyway, he's the host of America on Trial. Thank you so much, Josh.
It's a pleasure, my friend.
I could write for Harvard. I mean, there it would need some editing, of course, maybe a little spell check, but I could write. I could write. Let's talk about illegal immigration. It's ugly. There's a couple new things out there. I just want to talk about them. Then we'll move on, get some emails done and some other fun stuff. All right. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Do not forget that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We are going to have so much fun tomorrow. All 3 hours, we'll be answering your questions. Now, let's just get this email done real quick before we do the illegals. Dear Oompa Loompa, do you think the Supreme Court rules against us out of fear the Democrats will blow up the court? The left attacks them constantly, even though the court rules in their favor 50% of the time. They won't stop until they have total control. Well, who's to say why our people are constantly losing their minds. Are they physically afraid? Maybe. They tried to kill Brett Kavanaugh. They tried to kill him. Are they just wanting more social acceptance in the D.C. area? Maybe. Certainly that. Are they concerned about ongoing Democrat rhetoric against the court? Maybe legislation being passed? Maybe. Who knows why? But this is why I'm so much harder on Republicans, on people on the right, than I am on the left. I already know who my enemy is. I know the left is my enemy. I know they want to burn my country down. I get it. You're my enemy. Battle lines have been drawn. One of us will win. My frustration is the cowards and dorks and losers on our side who are constantly kneecapping us, kneecapping the things you want, the things I want. I can't stand it. I don't understand this mentality, this lack of fight. I can't relate to it. I don't get it at all. All right, we have illegal immigration talk because there's a lot of really ugly stuff happening out there. Here's another one. This is all new stuff from today and last night.
A 21-year-old undocumented migrant is behind bars for allegedly raping a 15-year-old girl in Albany. The case made public not by the Albany Police Department, but by a report from the Times Union. CBS 6 has gotten a hold of court documents for Sakir Akhan, arrested and charged with rape last week. Documents say on May 14th, the victim was in the passenger seat of Akhan's car when he forced her into the back and threatened her with violence.
Apparently, this 15-year-old belonged to a group home. 15-year-old girl. Group home. Alrighty, so things are rough. And this animal gets out of his car, threatens her with a metal pipe, forces her into the car, and just destroys her. This is what I mean about understanding who the enemy is. And this is why I get frustrated with Republicans for not fighting back. These leftists, these Democrats, these people, they are doing this on purpose. They bring these people into our country on purpose. They are abusing our women, our little girls, on purpose. This is Maxwell Frost talking about
it. Isn't the crime preventable if parole were not happening, of people who are going to end up killing people in this country?
Because a very small percentage of immigrants did something bad, we shouldn't allow the parole program for all people. The question is, because one or two people did something horrible, we should rip away the benefit from everybody else. And we don't use that logic for anything else in this country.
How can you listen to that if you're a Republican, whoever you are? Brett Kavanaugh, Congress, President, I don't care. How can you listen to this stuff and not dig in and decide, oh, it's on, we're fighting?
If you look at the statistics, the crime rate among immigrants is far lower than the crime rate among native-born Americans. So the whole issue is wrong.
Aren't the crimes preventable, though, if these people don't have a right to be here in the first place?
I've said what I'm going to say.
I've said what I was going to say. 15-year-old girl, life destroyed. Here's another Democrat. That's two different Democrats. This is Summer Lee.
Can I ask you quickly about the 12-year-old girl in Houston that was tortured?
I don't think the strangers. I don't even know who you are, and I don't know who she is. I live in Pittsburgh.
Okay, but there was a child who was killed at the...
I don't know anything about it.
You don't know about the child that was killed by illegal immigrants?
These people are doing this to us on purpose. On purpose. And I don't understand how you can look at that. How you can hear these horrible stories, how you can look at the suffering that's going on right now and feel anything but a deep, righteous anger and make a decision right then and there to fight back. But the GOP doesn't. They don't. They want to come together with these people. Wow, it's too divided. Well, I mean, but what if the media gets mad at us? Well, I don't understand this way of thinking. I can't relate to it, and it sickens me. Honest, they really do all need some chalk. Every one of them. Every one of them. The women, too. Because they got female vitality stacks at chalk. Male vitality stacks for the dude. We have a testosterone crisis in America. That crisis is 10 times as bad in the GOP. And this is why I have hope for the future generations. It really genuinely is. Because I think they're looking at the pathetic weakness we have now, and they will be better. Do you want to be better in your personal life? In your business life, in every part of your life, You want more energy? When 2 in the afternoon hits, do you want to be bouncing off the walls still instead of dragging your butt around? Go get some natural herbal supplements from Chalk. Just go see what they have. At least go browse. Go see what they have. I tell you about Chalk Lit Powder, which I love first thing in the morning. Male vitality stacks and female vitality stacks. Chad mode, the pre-workout. But they have all kinds of stuff. That's just the stuff that I have in my house that I use. There are so many things for whatever you're looking for. How's your mood? How's your energy? How's your everything? Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Or you can call or text them 50CHOK3000. Again, that's C-H-O-Q. All right? All right. Now, honestly, the people in Congress who have the most guts, it's the women. This is Anna Paulina Luna.
As you know, on February 27th, the Oversight Committee, as well as House Judiciary, had sent a subpoena to Attorney General Garland, of which we received no response. And after referring him for criminal contempt, within 48 hours or less, the Department of Justice refused to prosecute. It's important to note that when an individual is called before courts across the country, they appear. Why should the Attorney General, who is supposed to be head of all law enforcement authorities, any different? Garland still has time to comply with this request. We are asking that he bring the tapes to the House and let us listen to them. But in the event that he does not, we will press forward with calling the privilege motion on inherent contempt to the floor on Friday morning. It is also important to note that if we as a Congress do not have the ability to enforce our investigative ability, that we are essentially going to be ignored and undercut and essentially handicapped by all other branches, which would make us not a co-equal branch of government. Congress, again, does have the authority to do this, that the Attorney General is not above the law. And ultimately, we will be pressing forward with this. This is something that, again, would enable the Speaker of the House to order the Sergeant at Arms to take into custody the Attorney General if he fails to comply with our request.
This is from one of our youngest members of Congress. Why is it Anna Paulina Luna and just a few Republicans behind her? How is this not the universal GOP position? You can't ignore our subpoena. That's not allowed. We will have the Sergeant of Arms place handcuffs on you and take you to jail. How's this not universal? This is my frustration. Anyway, let's do some emails because someone has a good question about CNN and artificial intelligence and so much more. Hang on.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And, of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.